Da Bears.
What is up? The boys are back. Episode 93 of Da Bear Minimum Podcast. Today is Wednesday, November 15th. Join the bestest friend in the whole world. Producer Jake is here.
Howdy.
I am Marcos. Sammy Stats Dalladale, not here this week. Hoping we find our boys eventually.
On the road.
It's a whole corporate situation right now. We need to put out a... How soon? Like, how long from when you file a missing persons report does it show up on, like, milk cartons and stuff?
That's a good... A week, maybe?
Right?
Right? Maybe sooner.
We should...
Like, it's like 48 hours for the cops, right?
Yeah.
And then, like... I mean, but the cops aren't paying for that. You're paying... So, like, you could probably turn that around pretty quickly.
They would charge you a fee?
Yeah.
How much do you love them? How much do you miss them?
We have packages for you. 1,500 milk cartons, $50.
Guys, again, this is episode 93. We're on Facebook, Da Bear Minimum Podcast. On Twitter, Da Bear Min Pod. Instagram, Da Bear Min Podcast. Venmo, always open, at Da Bear Minimum on Venmo. And guys, we're brought to you by Aurelia Gloves. No matter your specialty, Aurelia delivers the best in-class gloves for a wide scope of industries. Dental professionals, tattoo and piercing professionals, all industries in between. They've designed premium quality products that excel in versatility, comfort, and supreme protection. Aurelia has a fit for you. For more information, visit AureliaGloves.com. Producer Jake.
Shout out. Yes.
How the hell you doing?
Doing well. Got back from the old family hunting trip this last week.
Oh, nice. Did you kill any defenseless animals?
Yes.
Nice. Real cool. Did you use your hands?
No. No.
You feel like a big man?
Think you're tough?
Think you're
fucking tough? Yeah, good time. Good time out there in Nebraska on the old ranch, the old cattle ranch. Good weather this year, you know, not fucking freezing my ass off like I was last year, you know, mid-30s in the mornings and then like 60 in the afternoon. Very comfortable. Great time.
Was it too hot?
Enjoyed every second of it. If we stayed any longer, it was going to be too hot.
Flirted.
Yeah, we worked it out pretty well, timing-wise. We got lucky.
Control.
Yeah.
You made it sound like I worked it out.
I worked it out.
I knew a guy. Controls the weather.
Yeah. Turns the dial a couple times.
Did you get your book?
Yes, I did. Yes. So, got two, actually.
What's that mean? Like one bullet, two? Look at you.
One was an accident.
You John Wick? Wait, what? One was an accident?
Yeah, so... What happened with the first one, what had happened was I was just watching.
Bush.
It was getting late one evening. And so sun was setting and I was just watching at this point. I wasn't expecting anything. Watching a very young buck, just a spike. He didn't have like multiple, you know, horns. It was just like, you know,
one unicorn?
Just literally two little spikes.
I got you.
Right? So I was just watching him and out came another deer out of nowhere, came up from behind me, walked in front of me like 30 feet. And I was like, and then just walked up to that buck. And I was thinking, oh, that, you know, might be that's just a doe like going up to it. And I was like, you know, it's getting late. I'm not really going to fuck anything up if I shoot right now. So I'm just going to take the doe. So shot the doe, sunset, got picked up by the truck. Threw the deer in the back of the truck, and then went to a different pasture because you don't want to. You'd field dress right there because it'll attract coyotes, and then your next morning is all fucked up. Go somewhere else, field dress, and got it on the ground. Flipped it over on its back, belly up, standing over it. It's me and my dad, and I'm like, Dad, this doe has balls. And he's like, what? He's like, that? No, it doesn't. And he like reaches down and he touches the top of its head. And he's like, oh, shit, you're right. This is a baby male, but is a fawn, just a big fawn, but hadn't grown any antlers yet. And I was like, fuck, what is it? Does this mean like my buck tag is punched? It's like, no, if you read it, it says you get one antler and two antlerless.
Oh,
so. It's crisis averted. It's there to like protect you from making that mistake because you can't obviously tell from you don't know. You can't tell that it's, you know, a male. So Yeah, crisis averted.
Crisis.
Didn't get a doe. got two males, one buck. So
one with antlers.
One with antlers.
One antlerless. Today I learned.
Yep.
How much football did you watch while you were out there?
Zero. Watched a little bit of the Nebraska football game, and they're not big NFL people out there, so the Bears weren't on, so we weren't really watching football. We watch Nebraska football, and we watch Nebraska volleyball, and that's it. It's entertaining as all hell.
I mean, there's other things though.
Like what?
All the sports that you just mentioned that they don't watch. You don't have to watch Nebraska football and volleyball.
Yes, you do.
In Nebraska?
Yes, you do. The rule was, what was it? Was it Sunday? It was Saturday or Sunday, I forget. But the game, the volleyball game's on it too. And Bill the Rancher just go at like nine at 11 o'clock in the afternoon as we're like prepping lunch. He just goes, guys, volleyball game's on at 2. If you don't want to watch volleyball, you can get the fuck out. And that was the rule.
Rule in place.
Rule in place.
We are set. Dude, week 10 was a good one. Week 10 saw another, I like the chaos of this season. I like the lower point.
Wait, what'd you do over the weekend?
Well, wait, I was just going to, I played golf.
Yes.
Oh, wait, I played golf.
That's what I'm trying to.
I get you. I played golf in this golf event. It was it's God bless him, Edgebrook Golf Course, Golf Club.
Shout out.
Out in, what's it, Sandwich?
Bad bunkers.
Dude, bad course in general. Great vibe. Great attempt.
Not a good golf course.
Not a good golf course, you know? And so they did this thing where, the course already plays, a total shit show when it's just a regular day. They did this whole, front nine reimagined where you were shooting from one tee to, another green. At one point, we were, driving through the driving range. You're, driving to go. Your second shot is, from the driving range.
How do you find your golf ball?
That's the thing.
That's fucked up.
Fucking bastards. Trevor hits an absolute nuke. You guys know Chef Trev. Hits an absolute nuke of a drive. Just totally, the best shot he hit all day. And as we're driving, we're like, oh, I see it in the distance. I'm like, oh, I see a ball. I'm like, oh, wait, I see another ball. Oh no, they didn't clean up the driving range before we got out here. So there's a nice Callaway somewhere out there. Trevor's Callaway's just sitting there. And yeah, it was.
What'd you do? Did you cheat? Did you just drop? You're like, this looks good, a good enough spot.
We weren't winning it anyways, dude. And you know somebody who's going to win that with a 51.
Yep.
Country folk. So yeah, dude.
Was it chaos? Was it
four?
It wasn't the whole time.
It wasn't so much that. It was more so you spent the whole time
trying to figure out where you're
Trevor
going.
Trevor had his app open.
Yeah.
And then I had the little printout map that they give you. And you're kind of you're surveyors. You're basically me and Trevor standing there shoulder to shoulder trying to match up the map with the direction of his phone. It was total chaos. It was a lot of fun. And $2 Busch Lights. Bush. It just, you want to talk about good vibes. $2 Busch Lights. Dalladale was there. So that was good times. Shout out Lee, who was our other partner that day. Dude, it was a good time. We were never going to win.
Yep.
So let me take.
That's hysterical.
Let me put this guy.
Was it just the front or did you play the back two?
No, I played the back two. Okay. So the back.
But the back was traditional.
Yeah, back nine was the same. And so that course is just, you get a lot of different country aspects in that course. I love that shit. You're playing we started off on 13, which is the par 3 next to the trailer park. So it's just it's perfect. It's just a beauty of a course, yep. Dude. Trying to think, what else have we missed here? So week 10, that was, I'm liking the low scoring point totals. I'm liking the chaos. Literally any Sunday, a bad team is warranted to win a good team. And that's the NFL. You know, there's mm-hmm. there's parity in the NFL like we talk mm-hmm. about. But the Broncos. Broncos beating, who did they beat? Yeah, Broncos beat the Bills. Bills. The Cardinals won that game against the Falcons.
Bills aren't real, I guess.
I guess not. The Texans beat the Bengals. That was not what I expected at all. I just continue to root for chaos.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for the rest of the way. Speaking of chaos, were you watching little Golden State MMA last night?
I didn't watch. Saw the incident.
I don't think anybody
though.
Was watching.
No one.
Nobody was watching.
Yeah, just
and was
State
like,
fans.
Oh, I was watching. I saw it. Well, dude, it happened in the first I think first 2 minutes of the game.
Oh, really?
There was not a recorded point yet. It was literally there was not a recorded point. If you guys haven't seen this, you're living under a rock. Go open any social media and see the memes. It's fantastic. Rudy Gobert got choked out by Draymond Green last night, and Draymond Green, habitual line stepper. So I feel bad for Rudy because he wasn't. Dude, he was just breaking up the fight.
Right, right.
He wasn't even like in there doing anything.
Draymond just comes in.
Draymond chokes him. It looked like Draymond just needed a reason. Like, and you already get the vibe that like people don't like Rudy Gobert. It's ever since like the COVID incident and stuff, like
I forgot about that.
Yeah, and he's just like a really sour ass teammate apparently. Like he's not really well regarded in the league to begin with. So like
right.
How many people in the NBA saw that last night were like, "Man, lucky." Lucky. But Draymond just dude full headlock. Karl-Anthony Towns, what is Kat doing in that situation? Like watch that video again.
Grabbing his like arm or something.
It almost like when you see
this, is he helping?
When you see the still shots,
is he helping?
When you see the still shots, it looks like Kat is like getting his licks in too. Like, bitch, come here, come here, dude. It's hysterical. So if you haven't seen that, that was good times. And Thanksgiving is in 8 days.
Yeah,
you believe that?
That's quick. Thank Christmas.
Yeah, dude.
Mary Chrysler.
I've been listening to Christmas music for weeks. Tree's going up this weekend. Jake, anything else you want to get into right now?
Nope.
All right, so we move on. Guys, if you're ever looking to send a voicemail, if you're looking to do a audio file, you can always message us. You can send it to the Facebook. You can email us, thebareminimum@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. You guys have our phone numbers. Mm-hmm. Send it. We'll play anything. We actually, a little bit of development here. Normally, we get letters from Stevan.
Yeah.
This
week,
we got a call.
Yes, I saw the Facebook message.
We got an audio file. Have not listened. This is a long one.
Oh, how long are we talking?
We're talking 3 minutes and 29
all right.
seconds.
All right, all right. Let him cook. Let him cook.
Here's Stevan, Bears.
Hey, Marcos, Jake, Dale, all of DBM.
Ooh, Sam.
What is that?
Oh. First off, just wanted to say thank you for featuring me and some of your episodes here on this series of the podcast. Always happy to try to give my insights as a Bears fan. Try to enjoy the positives of this Bears season while giving good, informative,
JFK vibes
realistic
right now.
Takes on different topics you all have talked about on the Bears and such. But always happy to be featured on it. So I might want to take a crack at, you know, singing a voice.
JFK vibes.
Marinating in this Panthers win the day after. Good thing we got it. Does not help, though, as a franchise when said franchise is making you scared that you're going to lose against one of the worst teams in the NFL, respectively,
true,
multiple times in a season. It's not good for your health. But alas, we got the dub. We grinded it out. But a big thing I wanted to ask is two questions for coming up from this 10-day break that we are heading to Ford Field to the Detroit Lions for this coming week. And first of two questions, actually. Number one. With how the front office coaches, how they like to play this up to the media and possibly do some gamesmanship and stuff, with the timetable that Justin looks like he's having to come back, the gamesmanship from the coaches after the media of being like, oh, who's going to start? Whether it be, you know, Justin or Tyson for at Detroit for Ford Field. My big thing is, with Justin's timetable tracking him to most likely be back this week against the Lions, if they do play the gamesmanship role of trying to see who starts to keep them on their toes, who would you want in the sense going to Ford Field to start? Would you want to keep Tyson going in, have the plan of have the backup, keep the backup starting until they lose, then you get the starter back in? Or are we going to, you know, once the timetable has been set, let Justin come in, smoothly transition him back into the starting role? And the second question that I wanted to give you guys is, let's not beat around the bush here. Mm-hmm. Detroit is a tough place this year. Whoever is starting this game is going to get thrown to the wolves here. Detroit is a playoff caliber team. They are most likely going to win the division this year. It is going to be a tough game to start in for this Bears team. So my question is, leading into from the first question, that if your answer was you're picking Fields and smoothly having him smoothly come back to the starting lineup, if he gets thrown to the wolves, guys, and he starts to shit the bed, there's going to be some noise that you want to bring the bagel man off the bench from the outside a lot. Just because he was serviceable, there was some not so great tape on him during those 4 weeks, but he was serviceable in his tenure as the Bears starter. So my thing is, if Justin does start And he does shit the bed in this regard. Are you bringing Tyson off the bench mid-game? Anyway, just wanted to ask those questions. Appreciate you guys featuring me on the pod. Can't wait for any possible future features. And by all means, continue you guys are doing. Love the podcast, guys. Bear down.
Bears.
Bears. Thanks, Stevan. Dude, awesome call. Awesome call. Little long. Awesome call. Dude, wasn't it JFK vibes it for it, these? It really the questions?
These all the questions that I want answered.
Zombies.
Zombies.
You remember that? Your JFK and Nixon killing zombies. Dude, it's so good. So, I mean, in regards to Stevan's question, I think Stevan does bring up valid points here. Like, who do you... So
question one.
Who do you want starting in this game?
Well, I mean, the answer is obvious. It's Justin Fields. If he's healthy,
is it? Because last week I would have told you that your vote would have been Bajan.
No.
Is this answer not at all affected by the performance that you saw last week from
absolutely not
the Bagel Man?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. This is what I said last week, though, that Justin is your starter. He was the only reason Tyson's in is because Justin got hurt. Justin will continue to start until he gives you a reason not to. And it's really up to the coaching staff on what they want to do on, you know, sorry, excuse me. If he's not performing and they want to attempt to win, do they make a switch? Maybe. Not that, you know, and again, on my Tyson take, it's what I see and what I like out of a quarterback is just the ability, just not the ability, but the fucking just throw it. That's what I want. If Justin comes in and does that week, I don't care how many picks he throws. Do it. Just throw the ball. That's what I want. I know you can run. I know you can do that. Throw the ball. But Justin's going to be the starter. No question. There should be no question on that. You know, you still have to see what he's going to do. Any take?
I'm 100% with you.
Yeah.
Like literally, like word for word, we agree. Like, and that's where I think your Tyson take was a little hot, a little spicy last week. A little
stand by it.
And hey, that's your take is your take and yours alone. So, but we can definitely agree that the starting quarterback for this team is Justin Fields, and when healthy, he needs to be out here, especially going into this last like 7-game stretch here, like. The window is closing, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in our look ahead here, kind of the state of the Bears at the beginning. Like, this is your opportunity. You get 7 more games to go ahead and analyze it. So kind of to roll in, step onto your question number 2, if Fields struggles, does Bajan see time? I would say no.
It would have to be catastrophic.
And even then still, I think that at this point it becomes an optics thing. You know me and optics, and there's always the message.
Yeah, but you also
always
know our head coach. Not optics.
Yeah,
not
but
really
this could be coming from above. This could be coming from Ryan Poles. At this point, it's an optics thing of saying, hey, like inevitably, like when we move on from Justin Fields, Ryan Poles wants to be able to say, hey, I gave him every opportunity. This organization gave Justin every opportunity. So when he came back, we were totally open to him going out there in the last 7 games and showing us that he was it, you know? Like, so I think that that's going to be the stance that that's going to be the take. That's going to be the direction that they kind of choose to go. And all like, other than an injury, I think you're going to not only see Justin start the next 7 games, but he will be the guy high or low at this point. Yep. Like, you're going to see Justin all game, every game, the rest of the season, minus injuries.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Stevan. Again, guys, if you want to ever call, you just send us an audio file at thebareminimum@gmail.com. Send it to the Facebook group. We have a blast. Jake, let's do a little recap.
Recap.
Sean, wherever you are, hit those goddamn lights.
I told you to stop jumping on the table.
Dude, it's a 3-legged table. I don't understand why. Like, and what is this made of? Particle board? This is not good.
It was $3 at a garage sale. Well, you don't have to make fun of it.
I'm also a big man. This is bad news from the beginning. I'm sorry about your table. I'm sorry about your laptop, too. We'll get you another one. Guys, so Bears win against the... What are the Carolina Panthers? Yeah. Bears win against the Carolina Panthers 16-13. I don't know why I was supposed to say the Florida Panthers. The goddamn Hokies.
We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that.
Inundated right now. Guys, Bears beat the Panthers 16-13 in the game that we said was an absolute must-win game. The Bears went out there at the end of the season when all the dust settles and we start to look ahead to the draft and everything else. We will not remember this game. We will just remember that it was a W, and that is it. They don't ask how. They ask how many. So this was a good, this is a good win for the Bears. You did what you needed to do.
No, it was required.
Yeah, serviceable day from really everybody. I guess my biggest takeaway, and this is crazy here, like because we're not. My biggest takeaway from that game was nothing to do with the Chicago Bears. The Bears did what I thought they needed to do. My biggest takeaway was that the Panthers fans must be just beside themselves.
Yes,
that Bryce Young is their quarterback.
Yeah,
they stink. The Panthers are
and there's
so
nothing redeeming.
Bad.
Like there's nothing happening there.
They have Brian Burns, and that's really luckily we avoided him last week. You didn't end up seeing him, but like, dude, Bryce Young is not good.
No,
and no part of that team.
No,
even the coaching, the decision of Frank Wright at the end of the game to have shoot Eddie out there for a 59-yard field goal instead of going for it on fourth,
especially after taking the flag.
Yeah,
how can you take that flag?
And like. To trot him out there, and he's like, yeah, I thought we had some wind to our back. Like, no, you didn't. And not only that, but like, well, Eddie, you kicked here.
Right, right. Well, also, I mean, he was 5 yards short. I wonder what that looks like if they didn't take that penalty.
Yeah, I mean, Bryce Young was bad. No part of that team. Like, if you're a Panthers fan, you just must be beside yourself that, like, CJ Stroud is out there in Houston doing what he's doing. And I mean, we feel you because, you know, every Sunday we watch, you know, who. But I mean, on the Bears side of things, like on the offensive side,
well,
go ahead.
I mean, not that we were ever going to pick a quarterback last year, but the Bears could ask CJ Stroud. I mean, we did have a first round pick, overall pick.
Okay. Right.
Oh, no, we traded it way earlier. Never mind. Yeah. Disregard everything I said.
Oh, but I mean, okay. So like, we'll do this later. We'll do this later. Okay. On the offensive side of the ball, they did enough. They did enough. I think I have seen all I need to see from Tyson Bagent. Like, awesome story. Great backup quarterback. He's made himself a gazillion dollars, and he's going to have a nice, cushy seat in the NFL, make a couple spot starts here or there for the next, like, decade. Like, Tyson has proved that he belongs, and he can he can run an offense. Like, I liked the commitment to the run. I liked the 21 carries from Deontay Foreman, the 80 yards. Like, that's the recipe. I always say it, establish an identity. You say it's coach talk. I say it just is a good direction for a bad team to keep it simple, stupid. So that's what you want to do. Run the ball. Be that team. Take the ball out of Tyson's hands so he's not making these crazy decisions, giving him a chance to kind of give the ball back. So offensive side of the ball, I was really happy. Defensive side of the ball, dude, this is like – this is the best version of the Matt Eberflus defense that we've seen over the last couple weeks. Like,
this was the best version? I mean, this – what do you mean?
Like, this Matt Eberflus defense has looked fantastic the last few weeks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it just – it's looked so good. The addition of Montez Sweat has been awesome. I know, again, it didn't result in sacks, but I think he had nine pressures. He had a couple QB hits, like in on a couple plays that like just barely missed out on him.
I mean, it was a defensive win, really. I mean, the defense did their fucking job.
We're used to that.
Bad field position almost the whole game. Continue to stuff Carolina every time. The defense has played really. Granted, really bad team you faced, terrible offense, but you didn't play to their level. You know, we do that a lot. We played our team like we play down to the teams we face, and yeah, they did the job.
Yeah, I'm really excited with the way the arrow is pointing for this defense. I just think like keep riding this momentum. As you get healthy, you're going to keep getting guys back, and you're going to feel even better about kind of the position of this team. And even like even a guy like Jack Sanborn, when Tremaine Edmonds comes back, you know what you're getting with Sanborn. Like, that dude has balled out and seized his opportunity. Just like we talk about Tyson Bagent, like Jack Sanborn has done the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. So super stoked for him. On a special team side, again, you can't say enough good things about Cairo Santos, dude. He was more points than your offense put up.
Everything has come together minus the offense. I think we can all just agree on that. If we can figure out the offense, we can be a competent football team. I'm not saying we're Super Bowl contenders, but we can be competent.
Yeah.
That's all I want right now.
That's, and like,
We have another primetime game this year. We just have to be competent. We can't embarrass ourselves. No.
You only have one primetime game left?
Yeah, we got one left.
God damn it. I mean, that's what I wanted to see, though. Like, on a Thursday night, for the world to see, I just didn't want to look like an incompetent team. So I'm 100% with you. Looked good. This week's Aurelia Gloves Glove of the Game is going to go to, I don't know if he's won this yet, Cairo Santos.
No, he hasn't. He should have, though.
He should have.
Probably
won.
Should
yeah.
have.
I mean, for... To be the...
He's only missed one kick.
I'm not going to call him the anchor. You can't really call him the anchor here. But, like, just to be a rock. To
He's
be
a
like
rock.
A,
you
to,
just... You
a
count
solid
on
piece.
Him,
yeah.
You know?
On a bad team,
you know?
You cling to those, like, guys that you know, like, hey, things are on fire
You're
over here.
You're not stressing about
yeah.
it. You know?
This
it's
guy,
one thing you don't have to look at.
I'm good. I'm good.
Yes.
We don't got to worry about him. So, yeah, guys, the Bears inevitably took care of business. That's what we wanted to see. It helps us in our draft position. Carolina really, really, truly does look like the worst team in the league, and we hope
yeah.
that translates
and,
to a number one pick at the end of
yeah,
the season.
Yeah, and on that, I mean, with the Cardinals getting Kyler back, they look competent again. They're probably going to win. You know, they play. We play the Cardinals. We play the Cardinals later this year. We have to lose that game. We have to.
Kyler Murray's back.
Yeah. Yep. So hopefully that results in more wins for them. The other two that are in contention right now are the Patriots and the Giants.
And they play each
other. So we're looking pretty good. Depending on how the Bears themselves play, you could definitely have two top five picks. But I am okay if the Bears start winning games, because that probably means Justin is playing well.
Well, and the Bears are in a weird position right now where, like, you can do both. Like, normally when we've hit this point of the season where we're, like, looking forward to the
yes.
draft,
yep.
we're always like, lose every game. You have the benefit of being able to win games if you want.
And still have a top three.
Still get a chance.
Maybe,
still
maybe,
hit the reset
maybe
button.
Number one.
Dude, even if they somehow don't get the number one pick, like, I'll take Drake May as a consolation prize.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you hear and mm-hmm. see is that dude is also like could be a possibly more well-groomed and like more pro-ready guy, less risk with him, you know?
Yep.
So, I mean, I'm good with it either way. We are anybody that's playing the Carolina Panthers this year, we are their opponent's biggest fan.
Yeah.
And that just needs to be the vibe the rest of the way through. Jake, anything else on the Panthers game you want to get into?
No.
We will do a little Sammy stats question of the week. Okay, I got one here.
Hit me.
And it was something that came up at the golf event.
Oh.
So.
Interesting.
There's a porta potty outside of one of the holes. It's
yep.
like hole 14.
I know the one.
You know the one.
I know the one.
So Dale goes and uses the porta potty. Well, I also need to use the washroom. It's a wooded area. So I stand next to the porta potty.
It's wooded. It's not, I mean, there's not a lot of coverage.
Yeah, I mean, wooded enough to where I uh-huh. felt comfortable pulling my thing out.
Sure.
Who was going to see sure. the animals at the sandwich or at the sandwich fair, the sandwich farm or whatever, they're right there. Anyways, so Dale's in there and we're kind of talking and I gave the porta potty a little shove. And he okay. responds with something along the lines of like, oh, That'd be a damn shame that's how our friendship ended. And for the rest of the day, I thought to myself, damn, that's all it would take? So I ask you,
uh-huh.
like, with our podcast hosts, what's it take to sever friendship?
You tipping over a porta potty while I'm inside of it.
Is that enough to end a friendship? I understand that it's bad.
It's very bad.
It's very bad.
It's so disrespectful.
You're covered in blue goo and shit.
Yeah.
And not just shit, mm-hmm. everybody else's shit. So I'm
right.
with you. I would be equally mad. I would be livid, and I'm petty. I'd be mad and petty for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd still be friends with you guys. I couldn't. So I was running through scenarios in my head
okay.
of like what could happen. I'm backing out of your driveway and I hit your dog. With my car.
Yeah, you kill my dog. That's,
yeah?
That'd be tough.
For sure?
Yeah. it would depend on, like, there's probably a scenario out there where it's, like, totally not your fault, you know? But, like, if it's your fault, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not, like, hammered flying down your street, like, ah! I mean, it just... I was like, damn, that's what it's going to take. And I was kind of like, I was kind of hurt by it. He's like, yeah, like you tip this over and you cover me in shit. Like, yeah, we're not friends anymore.
It's very disgusting. It's disgusting. So like disgusting.
Disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big cross in the line.
But enough to break up with me.
Again, it
the jackass guys didn't break up with each other.
See, but okay, that was on camera for money.
Money? That's what you need? Money?
Oh yeah, like if
he said yeah,
we're making a fucking movie. Yeah, you can tip it over. I'll sell out. We've said this before. I will sell out for less. Again, depending on the context. If there was a scenario where I thought it was funny, obviously.
Like you're standing with your back to the cart and I just line up a drive and on the off chance that I actually hit a ball straight and I just pipe it right into your back. I just swing a club and ha ha ha. I hit you with the golf cart. I'm just thinking back to all of these like Instagram reels that I've seen of like course misconduct and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking to myself like those guys didn't get money. They got a couple likes.
If you hit me with a golf ball, I'd just be very mad. I wouldn't probably break up.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Why was that funny? JFK voice.
Yeah. It would take a lot to obviously break up the friendship, but yeah, tipping me over in a porta potty. Because your day's over. You're not golfing anymore.
You're a shit-covered smurf.
You got to walk back to the golf, to the parking lot, get in your car.
And we're like at the back.
And now your car's ruined. It's like, you're driving me home.
I'm driving you home like you drove the dead deer home. It's just on the
I'm taking a shower at your house. You're going to have to explain to Lexi what you did to me.
I want your towel. Yeah, I'd be that's the thing, too. I'd be in trouble anyways. Be nice to Dale.
Be nice to Dale.
But yeah, that would be the example of not being nice to Dale. Jake, anything else on this one?
I mean, do you have any other examples?
I'm trying to think. Like,
what would end it for you?
There's legitimately, like, there's not many things that you guys could do that would completely end it. We might just take a little writer strike. We might just take a little hiatus.
Have
here.
A little tick, tickle a tick.
Just quick tick, time. You know, just real quick, you know, knock it out. But like eventually we'd be back. Like, I don't know. Maybe you like got me fired. If you like posted like a video of me or something, like just acting a fool and like it made its way or like, I don't know, like something like that. Life changing.
I would just
shit.
Feel like it'd have to be very personal.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. It'd have to be something like to be like, okay. Maybe you don't want to be my friend anymore. Like, if I push the porta potty over, like, again, it's the, who are we just talking about that we're mean
it's
to
the
them?
Most intrusive thought.
Yeah.
acted on.
I was standing there and I'm just like, what if I just fucking doom? Could have been crazy. Could have been funny. Jake, let's move on. We do a little look ahead, right? So Bears travel to the worst city in the country.
Period.
Fucking Detroit. The Bears face the Detroit Lions. Yeah. They are currently 8-point dogs. The line has been all over the place. It opened at like nine and a half.
Eight?
It got up to about 10.5, and that got snatched up real quick. And then it's been bet back down. Now we're sitting at about, we're getting 8 points again. Bears are +330 on the money line, and the point total is 47.5. 1-800-GAMBLER, gamble responsibly.
Wow.
I don't think the Bears can win this game at all.
No. On the road, what we've seen with the track record, I don't think there's a chance in hell.
So the reason that I kind of don't think they have a chance at winning is Justin Fields is coming back. And before you sit there and like laugh and like act like that was a dig, I love Justin. Justin's coming back from a dislocated thumb.
You just don't know what he's going to be.
We have no clue what he's going to be. And although, like, this Detroit defense has shown the last couple weeks that, like, they're not some, like, brick wall that you're just like immovable force or anything like that. Like, there's opportunity there against this Lions defense, but it's Justin's first game back. Like, he's got to get shake the rust off a little bit. It's just not the team. If the Bears are going to win, they have to get into a shootout with the Lions. And I just don't think with Justin coming back and this being his first game action in over a month, like, I just don't think that the possibilities are there. So, and I want to see Justin the whole game. Kind of back to what Stebon said. Justin gets the start. He's clear to go. Put in a full week of practice. Good to go. So, obviously, he's still nursing that dislocated thumb a little bit. But grip strength is back. I hope that there's zip on the ball. You know, I hope that it's not like these ducks that are out there, because then that doesn't do anything for anybody.
No.
But, I mean, it's just a lot to ask out of this team. I will say,
okay,
the Bears offense is healthier than it's been all season.
Yes.
You have Nate Davis back, and Nate Davis is assuming his original role as starting right guard.
Is Herbert going to play this game?
Herbert has been activated off the IR, and I think they're still waiting to see if he's going to play. I'm not too sure. But Foreman has shown you that he could be a bell cow.
Yeah.
But more options, more better. So Tevin Jenkins moves back to the left side. Lucas Patrick will start at center, and then Braxton at left, and then Darnell right.
Yeah, I mean, your offensive line's been playing really well. This is it, Justin.
What are your thoughts on with that lineup that I just gave you? That means that sends Cody Whitehair to the bench. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's where he belongs right now. You know, I think if everybody, I mean, Cody Whitehair's been getting just plugged in for the last year. You know, it's been out of necessity at this point. Like, you find a spot at center because you don't have one and you have to play it. You're terrible at that. Can't do that. Who knows? Maybe he'll benefit from just not playing as much, you know, like in game situation, taking a couple breaks and, you know, I don't know.
Well, and the way that things have shaken out kind of to this point is like, you've seen injuries every game to an offensive lineman, it feels like. And there's always scrambling and reshuffling. So, like, Cody Whitehair, I'm sure we'll call Cody Whitehair's name again this season. Like, he'll be asked to either step in or like take a start down the road for an injury or something. But at this point, like, this looks like one of those future decisions that was a tough one and had to be made. And maybe it just didn't get made to this point because the Bears were in a space where like they had a shit ton of cap space and it wasn't really a go for it year. Like, it was a let's see kind of how we're doing year. Like, Cody Whitehair has the highest cap hit on this team right now with like a 16.4 hit against the cap. Like, he very well could have been a cap casualty if this team was further along in the process.
Yeah.
So it sucks. And that's a guy that's been here for years, you know? And like, I love Cody Whitehair. I thank him for his time here.
He just hasn't taken to another level. I mean, there's a reason he's on the bench.
Yeah. Like, and I mean, that's enough. Like, that's just enough. I've seen what I need to see from Cody Whitehair, and we move on. Like, and that's okay. Like, you're going to be in the market for a top-tier center going forward. But everything else on that offensive line, I'm not hurt by it at all. Everything else on that offensive line looks good. Braxton's going to be your left tackle. You might invest in the draft if you pick high enough to get that stud from Ohio State. I mean, you've also, like, Tevin Jenkins is still under contract. Nate Davis just signed that deal.
Well, you're going to want to keep getting guys in that position. Because, like, you can't trust Tevin's health at all. You know.
God, I hope we could.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to have to keep drafting there.
So, let's go back to Justin here. Because we're talking about Cody Whitehair and we're talking about the future and kind of end of season stuff and just down the road stuff. In these next 7 games, do you think Justin can do enough to sway anybody's opinion? Not
what
yours.
What do you think? What numbers do you think he has to get?
I was playing with
to prevent a QB from being drafted.
So I think if Justin was able to put out like
7 games,
if he could put out
how many touchdowns?
Call it 1,400 yards.
Okay.
Through the air, maybe another 200-300 yards rushing, and like a 13 to 3 touchdown to interception ratio. If he shows that he can do it for 7 games, right?
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't shown that he could do it for the last 38 games that he's played for us or something, whatever that number is. But if Justin can do that over the next seven games, he can perform like that, and he can show that he can protect the ball.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see these next seven games. Show me that you can hold. Show me that you love this ball, that you don't want to lose this ball, that it's special to you because it's special to us. Show me that you can operate this offense efficiently. Take a little bit out of the – Collinsworth, now that the dust has settled, some of those comments were right, like you're saying. Show me that you can have that quick release, that you can either escape or get rid of it, but don't sit there and take a coverage sack at 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You show me you can do those things. I'm not saying it means that that's we're going to make a decision in seven games and that's our $250 million man, but we got something to talk about.
Yeah. What I would like to see is kind of what we're talking about here is just – the ability to go through progressions and to protect the football. The overall numbers, I think, are going to be tough because, like, I mean, you could have one game where you have less than 100 yards and then you have another game where you throw for, like, 400 and you got four touchdowns and then that juices you up to what you're, like, the numbers you presented. And then at the end of the day, I'm like, well, which one am I going to get? You know,
yeah.
I'm looking for consistency over the next seven games. And honestly, I don't think we're going to get it. I know he's coming off an injury and – he's going to come off an injury, but we've seen so many games to this point. He missed three or four games. It's not all going to change.
The offense is healthier than it's been, though.
I understand that. We'll see. I don't think anything changes. I think we know who he is at this point. And I think we're going to continue to get that. And then at the end of the year, we're going to draft a quarterback.
I'm with you, by the way. 100%, I think that's how this is going to shake out, too. And it goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the episode. Like, this is an optics thing. This is a way for the Bears organization.
You have to give him every shot he can.
Yeah.
You invested a top 15 pick for this guy.
So we gave him every chance, and it pains us to move on. But at this point, we have to move on. And I'm with that. Like, you have seven games. If you can do it, great, let's talk. If you can't, which we don't really think you can, we move on.
Mm-hmm.
We're Bears fans first.
They got to be a great seven games.
It's got to be it's got to be seven, like, Washington games.
Seven great games.
Yeah, it's got to be.
There can't be any wavering where they're, you know, like I said, where you have one game where you're throwing for 100 yards and you've got three picks.
Because, again, as Bears fans, that's what benefits us the most, guys, is that if we are able to lock in that quarterback position, if we know that Justin is the guy and by some miracle he does show us, dude, you've got money and draft capital and you don't have to worry about the biggest, toughest position to fill in the quarterback position.
Nope.
And you know who the other 27 teams that need quarterbacks in the league are going to try to trade with? You. And you can do the whole DJ Moore thing all over again. We'll see what happens. I don't think it happens, but we shall see. Jake, give me a little "we win if."
We win if the offensive line gets her done, protects Justin, and he hits his marks, you know, 4 seconds, 3 seconds. Like, on your four-step drop, five-step drop, you're releasing. Get back there, find your man, and get rid of the ball. Throw it. Fucking throw it. 30 points.
I am right there with you. I think that two things have to happen here. We win if the Bears score 35 points, 30 to 35 points, I think puts you in contention because I think this will be a shootout if you're going to win this game. But the other one too, and I've said it before, dude, like, bad teams have to play clean, crisp. Like,
the penalties. You cannot
You cannot.
We're the most penalized team in the NFL.
Yeah. What part of the hits principle is that? You know? Like, it's just that makes no sense to me. But if you're a bad team and you're going up against the Lions, who are a very good team, you have to play your best and you can't beat yourself. So score a bunch of points and limit the self-inflicted wounds and see if you have a chance. Jake, anything else on this upcoming game?
Thoughts and prayers.
T's and P's. We move on, guys. Let's do a little sports minutes. We'll go around the city of Chicago, touch base with a couple of our favorite Chicago sports teams. We will start with the quick and easy one, the Chicago White Sox. Jake, anything?
No. Just a flat no. We're not doing anything.
Really?
Is free agency open?
You guys didn't have anybody leave the organization recently that was part of the organization?
Did they? Are you leading me?
That maybe, like, was a Chicago kid.
Oh yeah, maybe. I forgot that happened. Oh, that the reason it's because it happened literally right after we recorded the podcast. I'm disgusted.
Jake, fill everybody in if they don't know what I'm talking about.
Fucking disgusted.
Disgusted.
Jerry Reinsdorf is just the most out of touch owner you could possibly have. It's unbelievable. Just how out of touch you can be. So anyways, Jason Benetti did not re-sign his contract with the Chicago White Sox. He is going to go be the broadcaster for the Detroit Tigers. Never saw that one coming.
Think about how bad you have to be.
Never saw. I figured we would lose Benetti eventually. I figured we would lose him to national gigs. Purely. The guy does everything. He does college football.
Olympics.
He does basketball. He does football. He does he obviously does baseball. I thought we would lose him to a national gig somewhere. Because he does national games and stuff. Like I really thought that's what we would lose him to full time eventually. No. Jerry Reinsdorf didn't re-sign him. He thought that he wasn't funny. Was one of the things he says.
I didn't hear about any of this.
Oh, no. Just didn't like him. Didn't like him as his broadcaster. Didn't think he was funny. Didn't like the whole like Sox math thing.
Sox math thing. That's like the one thing people like.
I'm disgusted.
That's crazy.
I'm disgusted,
dude.
At Jerry. So Jerry's basically sitting at home watching White Sox baseball for the last few years. And the only thing he's disgusted at is the broadcaster. Jerry, look what you've done.
Jake, when's enough enough?
Oh.
Not even close?
What do you mean?
Well, when's enough enough? Like,
to what?
Be done.
So
haven't they pushed the proverbial porta potty over that you guys are standing in
the
right
White
now?
Sox would have to, Jerry would have to sell the White Sox and they would have to move out of Chicago. And then I would just stop watching baseball. I wouldn't have a team. I would die. A Chicago White Sox fan who no longer exists.
Died with them.
I would die with them. I mean, enough's enough. Enough has been enough. I don't know. I don't know what you want from me or the White Sox fans.
Why do you guys stay?
Where are we going to go?
Another team.
No, that's not an option.
You can go to the team that's going to sign Shohei Ohtani.
That's not enough. That's not what the Braves.
Oh, fuck you. Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
The Dodgers.
Yeah, fucking right. The Chicago Cubs. Jake, anything else on the White Sox?
Jerry just...
the disdain.
We need a... I was like, we all need a band. Stand on top of the G-spot, hold hands, and threaten to jump off. But Jerry would probably be sitting down there and like, do it.
He put like a cheap lawn
chair. He has a megaphone. Do a flip.
Do it.
Do a flip, cowards.
Guys, we move on to the Chicago Cubs. So the Cubs did the press conference for Craig Counsell. That introductory press conference happened. It was Jed Carter and then Craig Counsell. That was like 45 minutes of just like of just feel good, feel great type of vibes. Mm. Just talking about what we're going to do. I did appreciate the candor from Craig Counsell. Like, look, like there were multiple times in that interview that like, they asked him about, what about the coaching staff here? What do you think about the history? What do you think? And he's like, look, honestly, I didn't think this was an option. I haven't done much homework here. Like, I'm going to be totally honest. I need to do better. I need to figure out who is still here and what we're doing and all that good stuff. But like, just the honesty from his side was cool. I'm giddy. I'm so fucking giddy. Speaking of giddy, if you are a gambler, 1-800-GAMBLER, gamble responsibly, you will have seen that the Cubs have skyrocketed. Their odds have now shot up. Well, I guess shot up, but down. You know how that goes. They're now the number two most likely team to sign Shohei Ohtani. And from everything that you hear, kind of rumblings at these GM meetings, and we'll see how the winter progresses, it sounds like it's going to be a two-team bidding war between the Dodgers and the Cubs. And from everything that you hear, the Cubs are ready to spend. Everything has been pivoted towards, let's sign Shohei, bring him in. Jake, if it happens, block me. Mute all notifications. Any group that we're a part of, mute it. I'm going to be insufferable to watch that guy hit 35 home runs into a basket every year.
The basket's cheating.
It's not cheating.
It's cheating.
It's not cheating.
It's cheating.
Is the monster cheating?
It's cheating.
The monster? I'm so excited. I'm so excited. The Cubs are back. Dude, Cubs are back. Cubs are spending. Cubs have a manager.
Cubs, you've only spent on a manager.
Cubs have money. Cubs have a great farm system. We're almost going to get Shohei. Dude, it's the best we've felt about the Cubs in a while. And literally up until like a couple months ago, like we were getting ready for a playoff run. Mm. So vibes are high. I'm mm-hmm. feeling good. Mm-hmm. You could come over.
No.
It'd be pretty cool. Be a lot cooler if you did.
No. Just I God damn it. I swear to fucking God.
They're gonna, dude.
No, they're not.
They're gonna.
No, they're not.
They're gonna.
They're not. They're not. They're
why,
not.
Why don't, why? Why
just,
not?
Just
why not?
I did this. I've been on this road. I've heard this. Maybe it's different. Maybe it's different. 6 years ago, I was told we were gonna spend the money. We paraded around Bryce Harper,
Manny Machado.
6 years ago, we were gonna spend the money.
Are you
spent
projecting?
It all on? Yeah, yeah. Good luck.
You
good luck.
Sounds sad.
I'm happy for you.
Are you happy for me?
I'm happy for you.
It's pretty neat.
It's pretty neat. Good luck. I wish you the best.
Guys, let's move on. We get into, I'm going to bring the mood down here. We get into the Chicago Bulls. Jake.
Marcos.
I apologize.
Thank you.
I'm sorry for sticking to a bit that was a bit that shouldn't have been stuck with.
Uh-huh.
We got to blow it up. I'm there. And I get it.
You're there?
I'm there.
You've arrived.
I've arrived.
Welcome.
You got to just completely blow it up. Yep. It's just like you're 4-7 so far throughout the season. Yep. Things are not looking any different than they looked last year and the second half of the year prior. So at this point, I've seen enough games and I think I have a good understanding of who the Chicago Bulls team is. And it's just two words.
Like, I can't wait for next episode when they rattle off like 3 of 4 and then Marcos is like, they're fucking back.
No, I'm done. I'm legitimately like, I'm done. Like, this team is just, in two words, this team is not enough. Even at its peak, this team is just not enough. And so that's the unfortunate part of this. And now you start to see, tell me if you've heard this before, the Zach LaVine trade rumors are really ramping up. And honestly, like, this time for real, like, I don't think Zach is on this team by Christmas. I think that this Bulls team in general, like, so Zach's going to be traded, and now it's public. The Bulls have said they're down. Zach LaVine has said he's down with the trade. In the media availability after the game a couple nights ago, they asked him about trade rumors, and he's like, look, like, now's not the time to be thinking about that. And it's like, okay. Like, but then the next night, Kansas, and there was a whole, like, there's a whole, like, college basketball night at the UC, and Zach LaVine and his agent were sitting courtside at that game, just kind of like, hey, I'm available, yoo-hoo, big summer blowout. So I'm almost positive that Zach's going to get dealt. DeMar DeRozan has stepped away from the team for personal reasons, so no clue what's going on there, not even going to speculate. And then the rest of the team is the rest of the team. Alex Caruso is kind of garnering some looks, and he's a name that's floated out there. Sell it all. Sell every single bit of it. My issue is, and we have this issue with mutual sports teams here, like, the organization is not going to move on from AK and Mark Eversley anytime soon. So we're back into this vicious cycle of, hey, we're going to fire everybody, or we're going to trade everybody. We're going to get all these draft picks. We're going to rebuild it. And who's in charge of the rebuild? The guys that fucked it up to begin with. You shouldn't get the opportunity to fix your mistakes in big kid sports. You should not be allowed to. You fucked it up. You didn't make it any better. You shouldn't get another crack at the apple, or bite at the apple here. It's a shame. It's a shame. And it's a shame that we're treated like this as Bulls fans.
See,
like,
you only get half the taste of Jerry Reinsdorf that I get.
Oh my God.
This is par for the course, my friend.
I know.
This, I mean, we know this. Garpax had control of the team for like 10 fucking years.
Yeah, but
we
like,
know this.
God, I miss Garpax.
At least they drafted well late.
I mean, at least they, yeah, at least they drafted well late, and like your teams were, yeah, maybe they weren't like fantastic teams, but like they were competitive teams for the most part.
Yeah.
A couple injuries here or there away, and obviously the
they
big
never,
Derek
injury. They were never able to like complete the job. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of what ifs if Derek, but again, you won the lottery there. You had a first overall pick. We usually pick seventh.
Yeah. Well, and
that is the difference maker, is winning the first overall pick.
And in the Garpax era, you had that big bad LeBron James that was standing in your way every single time anyways. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of it. And, I just demand more. And I don't know who I'm demanding. I don't know who I'm demanding more to. That sounds so stupid. But, like, it's just fucked up. It's fucked up that we get hyped for this every single season. 37 and a half. I cash that fucking bet out. Pennies on the goddamn dollar. It's just brutal. But we're just selling everything, and here we go. Gonna rebuild it again. And great. What are you gonna get? Some 2027 and 2028 draft picks?
You just gave up way too much to get the players you had, and then they didn't perform anywhere near that caliber.
You want to talk about performance? Zach LaVine, you're a max player. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
I expected Zach to get better, and Zach is just isn't enough.
Did you hear the outrageous take by Wilbon on 1000?
No, but I'm all for this.
So him and Sylvie got into it on a debate of, in the NBA, if you lose your most valuable player, I mean, your most important player, he said, you are nothing. And he was claiming that because the Bulls lost Lonzo, that's where it all fell apart.
Wilbon said this?
Yes.
Dude.
And Sylvie was beside himself. The argument, go listen to the interview. The argument is incredible. They were fighting. Like, they had to just move on because they were never going to.
I can't stand Wilbon.
He's brutal sometimes.
Dude, that guy's just that's a guy who talks about Chicago sports. Like, if he still lives and breathes and dies by it. Like, you're a national guy now that is from here. You're not in the trenches with us. You don't get it like we get it. So, like, when you rattle off these hot-ass takes, know that it means nothing to anybody. Like, this Bulls team is just, like Michael Wilbon, just pisses me off.
It was bad. It's a bad take.
I mean, this is my hell. We're back at it again, and I'm not going to see another good Bulls team for 5 years. My kid might be in school by the time the Bulls are good enough to, like, actually, I'm not even going to say compete for a championship, just have an opportunity. Whoa, that was crazy. Went a little limp there. We're doomed. We're doomed. Do you have any questions?
No.
Anybody have any ideas?
Anybody got any ideas?
Jake, talk to me about the Chicago Blackhawks.
I think you should talk about the Chicago Blackhawks.
The fucking Chicago Blackhawks.
All of a sudden, you're a goddamn expert.
Dude, it's awesome. Oh, my, really?
It is awesome. They're not incredible, but that goddamn is Connor. We're going to just do this every time. We're going to just jerk off to Connor. The guy's insane.
Well,
really coming alive now.
So what? It's 13 in 13 games, I believe.
In 11 games, the coach goes, in a post game interview, the coach goes, yeah, I think he's starting to figure it out. It's like, what?
Starting to figure it out. Yeah.
He's figuring it out now.
Yeah. We're 13 games played. He's got 9 goals, 4 assists.
He's top 5 in the league in goals scored. He's not even in the top 50 right now for points, but that's because he only scores goals at the moment. He's not getting a lot of assists, but that also could do with the talent around you. Like, you might just be doing the fucking thing. I mean, they're giving him the puck every chance they get. They're feeding him. He doesn't even have to feed everybody else because he can just score on a whim.
Dude, and some of these goals, like that that wide side, he kind of stole it. And like
against the Florida Panthers?
Yeah. Dude, just kind of stole it and just
lifts
that nasty little lift.
And
yep.
He wasn't even looking at the net. He was looking to pass, looked over, nothing there, and he started shooting before he was even looking where he was going to shoot. And he just fired it right over the goalie shoulder from, like, the red line, the goal line, essentially. Yeah. And then he can snipe it from distance. That's so fucking difficult to beat a goaltender from distance one-on-one.
Well, it just makes you, and what's
crazy, nobody screening.
It makes you have to not only like be locked in, if you're a goalie, you have to not only be locked in like that entire time that they have possession, but also like taking a shot from that far out. Dude, you know how it goes. Those little like rebounds, those redirects, like there's a lot of space, which means a lot of opportunity for fuckery. And it's just good things happen when you create chaos.
Yeah. He's so good.
This team's going to be really good when they are able to like see their money and see their draft capital spent and like what the final product looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, they beat the Tampa Bay Lightning the other night. Tampa Bay
5-3, dude.
Tampa Bay Lightning are a playoff, even Stanley Cup contending team. And they beat them on their home ice the other night. The fucking video of Bedard after he scored two goals. He had 4 points, two goals against the Lightning. It was part of the mom's trip, and he's in the locker room, gets the player of the game from the team. And he's like, oh, moms are going to be real hyped up for this one. Or moms are going to be fired up.
Moms are going to be fired up.
That still of that with, was with it Reichel?
Yeah.
Just like, oh my God.
Yeah, Reichel's back. Well, and like Taylor Hall's even talking about him. And I'm just like, dude, everybody's like, even when they talk about him, everybody's just glowing. Our baby boy.
He's 18.
He's a child.
He's 18.
He can't.
And he's a top five goal scorer in the NHL right now.
I saw the was the Vegas Knights had posted something about it. Like Connor Bedard, who, by the way, can't place any bets at any of the tables in our city, has more points than so-and-so. Like, it was just like an appreciation post or something like that. It's just awesome.
It's great.
He's only going to get
God, better. We're so fucking lucky.
I'm so in on hockey. I'm so, dude, that's,
I'm going to the game tomorrow.
Nice. That's awesome. I'm going to try to get to a couple, actually, because we're not going to our Bears game and I'm not spending money on the goddamn Bulls.
We should go.
Tomorrow? I can't go.
No, not tomorrow.
I'm down for, yeah, I'm, yeah, down. Oh, I'm down
saying
for
we should go.
Multiples. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What was I going to say? Damn it. Blackhawks. Talking about, oh, whatever. I lost it. Oh, the Sunday matinee game. Have a little Red Zone TV 1.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Bears TV 2. Little Blackhawks on the tablet. It was perfect. Little daytime hockey, dude.
Afternoon game.
Afternoon delight. That was my shit, dude.
Afternoon delight.
Afternoon delight, dog. That's my shit. Jake, anything else on the Blackhawks you want to get into?
Goaltending still really good for Mrazek.
From one of them.
From one of them. Mrazek is looking really well. Soderblom, he's got bad games, but he's got okay games, too. Like, he's a backup. He's a backup. But Mrazek's playing really well. The rookies are looking good. They're all going to pretty much play out their entry-level contracts
Corey
now.
Perry.
Fucking Corey Perry.
Corey fucking
son
Perry,
of a bitch.
Dude.
I can't believe that. That son of a bitch. What was it? Matthew Tkachuk and the Florida Panthers tried to take a run at Connor Bedard and...
hell broke loose.
All hell broke loose. Felino threw out the mitts. Got into some scraps there. You love to see it.
That needs to be the precedent.
He's
anytime
dad.
Anybody hits our
he
guy.
He is dad to our beautiful baby boy.
Love our baby boy. Shout out, dad. All right, guys, moving on from the Chicago Blackhawks, let's get into, Jake, let's do a little Schmegmans. You going to do some Schmegmans?
Let's do them.
Who can or cannot dog sit for you? I will start. Dog sitting for me is going to be Mark Wayne Mullen.
Okay. You know this who, is going to be zoo related?
You know who Mark Wayne Mullen is?
No.
Mark Wayne Mullen is a senator for the great state of Oklahoma.
I saw this, yes.
Basically him, there was a back and forth between him and like the national president of the Teamsters union, and kind of going back, and apparently the Teamsters union guy was talking shit online, and Mark Wayne Mullen basically said, like,
you want to fight?
We're both here right now, standing in front of each other. Let's do this. But the best thing about it was you could tell that those two guys who were talking shit had never actually like initiated a fight, like said the words to like
we should fight.
Begin the fight, because it was like, stand your butt up right now. And the other guy was like, stand your butt up right now. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, anybody says that to me and we're not fighting anymore. I can't
fight.
Fight's
over.
I can't fight you anymore. Like, you're a child, basically. You've shown me that you can't do this.
I think more decisions at the in the U.S. government should be handled by Fisticuffs.
Dude, equal rights, equal lefts, dog. What do you mean? Let's just and handle our business. So if you care about whatever you were mad about enough to fight.
And you can hire a champion.
In front.
You know. That's what I'm talking about.
Fight for you.
Yeah.
That's trial by combat.
Trial by combat.
So yeah, if you love whatever you're fighting enough to fight in front of the Senate, you can totally dog sit for me.
Mm-hmm.
Jake.
Dog sitting for me is going to be anybody who uploads videos of them burning their shit down when they're frying their turkeys. Always a hot item there on Twitter. Can't wait to see them.
You fry them?
Huh?
You fry your bird?
Oh, yeah. Great bird.
It's just the best way to do it.
It's the best.
You just, dude, it's the idiots that, like, if it's not dry, don't put it in.
It's so much faster. Yeah. It's so much faster. It's... The skin of it is incredible.
It smells great.
It's a juicy bird.
Well, and it's like a fire. It's like a bonfire.
Yeah, you sit outside.
You stand up, drink beer, warm your hands up with it. It's good times.
Watch a bubble.
Yeah. Jake, run it right back. Who's this week's not that guy?
Not that guy. That guy.
Not that guy.
You know, it goes back and forth. I'm going to say my dad. The son of a bitch just... He might listen to this. He might not. Always gets bigger deer than me.
He's your dad. He's a better golfer than you.
Playing golf beats me. Hunting beats me. Yeah, can't win in those departments.
You're almost 30. You are 30, right?
Yes.
Would you have, like, if you sat 20-year-old you down and you're like, hey, in the next decade, I know you think you're going to. You're still not going to beat your dad in anything. Would you have believed it?
Anything? There's things I can beat him in.
He can outdrink you.
Yeah, probably.
He can get better deals on firewood than you.
I remember there's one time of a person that we no longer hang out with.
Bitch.
This son of a bitch.
Fuck that guy.
We were over at my dad's place and,
on site,
and he was like, I'm gonna drink your dad under the table tonight. I'm like, good luck with that. Good luck with that. And he didn't tell my dad, but he just told himself, I'm gonna match pace, like drink for drink.
Every time he gets up, I'll get up.
Right. So went to match.
Wrong.
And I think they were like four drinks in, and he looked at me. He's like, big mistake. Big mistake.
That was just your dad's warm up.
I think there's a level in every person's life where, like, in your 20s, like, your tolerance obviously is through the fucking roof. And then you get to this point where you initially have kids and it, you know, kind of goes down. And then you start coming out of that and it's like, it's right back to where it was, you know?
Dad's back.
You take on a new form.
Not that guy for me. And not that guy, like, by definition, not that guy this week for me is going to be Zach LaVine, because we paid Zach to be that guy. And what we have learned is that Zach LaVine indeed is not that guy. He's not the guy that we can hitch our wagon to. He's not the one on a team. Honestly, Zach might not be the two on a championship team. Zach might be the three. So shame on me for thinking that Zach would get better. He has not. Zach LaVine is not that guy.
Do you know what I hate? What drives me fucking insane.
Ooh.
Is guys that I view them as just haters. Like, there were people when you were working on the Zach Max deal that, like, were tearing him down every step of the way. There's always been people that tear Justin down and tear Mitch down. And like, they might have been right in some of those cases, but there's been other times they're wrong. But goddamn it, when they're right, they're fucking insufferable.
It's the worst.
It's like you're just a goddamn hater about everything because traditionally we can't get it right, but you're a goddamn hater. And I hate to hear from you.
And even spending money on Zach LaVine, like, you know, those same idiots will be the ones that are like, you shouldn't have extended him to begin with. Like, you idiot. You had to extend him. Are you fucking dense? We're going to lose him for nothing. So fine, re-sign him and trade him down the road. Somebody's going to want him. I wonder how many teams really are, like, knocking on the door for Zach LaVine. People want scores, but the Bulls price notoriously, like, we view our players as, like, untouchables. A la, you can't trade Lou Aldang for Kobe Bryant. Stupid.
Stupid.
So, I mean, but speaking of stupid, like, if that's your take, you're just, you're dumb and you're wrong. And I hate you. Jake, anything else?
No. Let's get out of here.
That is a wrap on episode 93, guys. Again, all the socials, hoping to get our boys back next week. Little Thanksgiving episode. We'll try to record early in the week next week because we got poker on Tuesday. So so we're doing hopefully a Monday record. If we don't talk to you guys before Thanksgiving, just enjoy the time with your families. Bears. Be thankful for the time. Be thankful for Justin Fields being back. Be thankful for thumb ligaments. Be thankful for cash out options. Because sometimes you make a play on 37.5 and it ain't the move.
Bears.
See red. Bear down.
Bears.
Love you guys.
Bears.
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 Jake's going to get stuffed.
It's bad. It's so bad. They don't win. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger.
But she ain't messing with no Richard Seymour. Get down, girl. Go ahead, get down. The boys are back.
Not that guy.
Get down, girl. Go ahead, get down. How big are you on sports? Get down, girl. Go ahead. Not that guy.
I need to put notes on that.
Right. Oral Roberts, yep. Man.
I'm drunk.
Drunk.
Bears.
Bears.
It's looking more like Jake might have been right, but do I know anything about that man? Absolutely not going into that, right?
You don't have a choice.
No, that's not what I said.
Okay. Feel me mine.
I watched all the tape. Watched all the tape.
To say where you work, but then get the hell out of the chair.
The best friends in the whole world.
Go Chaos. Especial.
Not that guy.
Marcos disagrees.
Sean's legally blind.
Let him up, you dumb bitch.
It's Malort.
What if he wants to be here?
What?
Yeah. I rode with him for 3 weeks, dude. Well.
Football guys.
Really fast.
I need it in like 15 seconds, though.
Yeah, never. Your face is too narrow.
That guy.
Dude, I love and celebrating. Yes,
the Malort's on the table.
We're doing our best to put out as much as we can put out.